Hello and a warm welcome to you all. I'm Kiri Sinclair, board member of Marketing Society Hong Kong and CEO of Integrated APAC Communications Agency Sinclair. I'm delighted to be hosting today's roundtable. Now, 2020 has been a year of surviving and reviving. And as we look to 2021, we turn our attention to how we can thrive. When the pandemic first started to take its grip on the world, most brands went into survival mode to safeguard and protect their businesses and their people. When it became clear that this was not going away anytime soon, that it was long-reaching, long-lasting situation, businesses were forced to take stock and evaluate how to revive not only their campaigns, but how to adapt their business model in difficult and unprecedented times with financial constraints and pressures to hit targets. Now, with the hope of a vaccine and the reality that this pandemic will change the way we work, interact, communicate, and do business, brands are looking to the future and asking, how do we ensure we thrive in this new world? Before we get started, I just want to explain how today is going to work. So the purpose of this event is to bring like-minded peers and colleagues together for an honest, open, uplifting hour where we can talk, share, and learn. We're going to start off by hearing from each of our key contributors who are going to share their story. We will then promote all of you to panelists so that you can join us on screen, hopefully with your videos on, and we can have a discussion and ask around our virtual table here on Zoom and have a discussion around the key topic. We do encourage you to use the chat box throughout to share reactions and thoughts as we can build on those during the discussion. And if you have questions, do drop them into the Q&A function and we'll refer back to them as the event today goes on. Okay, so let's test the chat function is working properly. Welcome to our guests today. It would be great if you could write into the chat function where you're dialing from today and also tell us what is your biggest concern or challenge as you look ahead to 2021. So what is your biggest concern or challenge as you look ahead to 2021? We'd love to hear from you in the chat function. So Sabine from the Marketing Society in London, uncertainty about what will happen next in different markets and how to enable us to plan effectively. Yes. Are there any others? Anyone else wants to contribute? Get us warmed up a little bit. Okay, we'll move back to that. So for now, thanks everyone again for joining us. And it is a great pleasure to welcome our two contributors who are going to introduce themselves. So Natalie Trong, Chief Marketing Officer, Asia and Partner at Mercer. Natalie?
Thanks, Kiri. And hello, everyone. Wherever you're joining from, I hope that you are safe and healthy. I feel like I've been really fortunate to have found my passion. You can read about my CV on LinkedIn, but I guess there's two things that I'd love to tell you about myself. The first thing is I love brand and marketing. I love building campaigns. I love, you know, everything to do with building brands. And the second thing is I love building teams. So I have this a real passionate philosophy regarding nurturing and coaching teams that I want everyone that works for me to be better tomorrow than the day that they started with me. So that's a bit about me, and the rest you can read on LinkedIn.
Thanks, Natalie. And next, I'm delighted to introduce Chuck Shum, Head Retail Marketing Hong Kong, Greater China and North Asia at Standard Chartered Bank. Chuck.
Hi, thank you, Kiri. And hello, everyone. Good morning and good afternoon, depending on where you are. I'm Chuck from Standard Chartered Bank. To those of you who are unfamiliar with us, we are one of the oldest note-issuing bank in Hong Kong with more than 160 years of history. We serve about 1 million clients in Hong Kong with about 6,000 staff. Nothing really interesting about me, so that's why I chose to talk about the bank instead of myself. Fun fact is Kiri and I went to school together, so hopefully that might be a bit of a fun fact to start us off. Looking forward to speak to you all soon.
Thanks, Chuck. Okay, and we have a few comments here. Thanks for writing in. I always think that the ability to communicate, even though we're not face-to-face, but to have some interaction using the chat function, the Q&A, and to then all join as panelists later is actually what makes these events successful. So Mateus dials in from Singapore. How do we connect with colleagues, especially new ones? You know what? I find it very interesting. I've just had a colleague join, and we're obviously work from home, and we're meeting each other, a new employee of mine, online, and you know, creating that new relationship. It's a very interesting time to try and find ways to engage online. So, Mateus, thank you for that. And we have Cam here from Bangalore, building content automation tools. As the world shrinks, what increased roles will vernacular communications play in marketing campaigns across geographies? Now, that would be an interesting topic and would be a panel of its own. Danny from Observatory International, biggest challenge, managing marketing resources in a recovering economy. I think that all of us on the call today are going to be experiencing that, especially moving into 2021. So without further ado, I'm now going to pass over to Natalie, who will give us an overview of her journey through 2021 and what she has learned along the way. Natalie.
Thanks, Kiri. So I'm going to start from a company perspective and share my reflections on that, because I'm actually really proud of the way that our company responded to is responding to the pandemic. You know, there's three things I think we did really well. The first thing we did was clear, consistent, transparent communication. There was no playbook for what happened earlier this year. Asia was the first in, and then we're going through these waves. But the communications that came down from our leaders was really honest about the fact that sometimes I actually had no idea. And sometimes they were just, you know, we were doing things, but we were being really honest about it. And I'm proud of that, because we just did an employee engagement survey to 75,000 of our colleagues. And one of the things that rated the most was around consistent communications. The second thing I'm really proud of from a company perspective that we did was when we all went into the pandemic, people were worried about not having enough sick days or vacation days or annual leave or whatever you want to call it. At Mercer, we didn't care about that. You didn't have to log your days. If you had to take time off, if you had sick loved ones at home that were sick, you just took days off wherever you had to. So I thought that was great. And the third thing we did from a company perspective was we set up a $5 million fund for financial hardship. So we had colleagues, as the pandemic was hitting, we had colleagues who either had loved ones that fell sick or had loved ones that lost jobs. And so that was to help out colleagues. So those three things I thought we did really well from a company perspective. From a personal perspective, it's been a huge learning curve. It has new teams, new roles, a new home. My partner and I decided in June, in the middle of a pandemic, that it was a good idea to move from Australia to Hong Kong. So we did that, trying to learn the culture, etc. I've absolutely loved this year from a learning perspective, not for any other reason. I started this year, I was able to go to the Harvard Business School. It's one of the things on my bucket list. And I did an executive education course there called Leading Global Businesses, and absolutely love the experience of studying full-time, you know, for 10 days while we were there, and just learning from some of the greatest minds around, you know, how to lead global businesses. For me, I think the biggest challenge for this year, as I reflect on the last 10 months, has actually been stepping into the CMO role on a full-time basis, stepping into a new culture and being the CMO in a new culture as well, not really understanding the culture. Yes, I am Asian, and I just haven't grown up here, so I don't. The thinking is a little different here. So learning about the culture and learning about the differences in culture. No one actually tells you what you're supposed to do when you step into a CMO role. You know, you go from 1 minute being technically brilliant, or at least good at, you know, marketing and brand and things like that, to spending 70-80% of your time coaching and mentoring and building teams. It's not a bad thing. It's not right or wrong. It was just different. And for me, I think, you know, just getting comfortable being in that CMO role is something that I've really appreciated. And it was not long ago, you know, when I arrived, I was just, I kind of had no idea what I was doing, trying to figure it all out. And then it was my CEO that sat me down one day and said, "Hey, you know what? You're a partner in the firm. You're a CMO. You've got this." And it wasn't until that moment that I went, "Okay, I think I'm going to be okay." So that's been a real challenge, and certainly I've loved, I'm continuing to love that challenge. In terms of how we reacted in the first 3 months of the pandemic, obviously being in Asia, we were first in and first to start to come out. There was so much noise in marketing at that time. There was so much noise from colleagues, so much noise from clients about what they should be doing. We were making stuff up, I guess, because there was no playbook in marketing that says when, you know, when a pandemic hits, this is what happens. What we did do, which I was quite proud of, probably 6 weeks in April, starting in April, we started to shut down the noise by creating a content journey, which was because we've got 11 markets in Asia, there were markets coming in and out of different stages of the pandemic. So the content journey we created was in three phases. So one was, how do I react to this pandemic? You know, at that time we had Indonesia, Malaysia, you know, some of those markets actually going into the pandemic for the first time, going into lockdown. But then we had other markets like Taiwan, Korea coming out of those cycles. React. And then the second one was returning to work. Was the second part of that content journey. And then the third part of the content journey was, how do we rebound for growth? So we made sure that we had content that was relevant for each of the markets, depending on where they were coming in and out of. It also made life a lot easier for our consultants and our people to talk to clients about, because we weren't just trying to react to everything that was coming. And we weren't reacting to whatever was happening at that point. We were actually telling a story, which was, here is, tell us where you're at as a, you know, as a client, tell us where you're at in terms of these three phases, and we'll be able to help you depending on the solutions that we've been using to help other clients in these phases. We also put together what we call a commercial acceleration program, which I really loved. At the time, you know, clients weren't sure what they wanted. We knew that people were bleeding money. There was not a lot of cash around. So instead of trying to sell the whole, you know, Mary Poppins bag of stuff that Mercer does, we stuck to, you know, we spoke to the CEOs in each of the local markets and said, what are the three things that, you know, that clients really need in your local markets? And then we just started marketing those three products. The commercial acceleration program over 3 months, you know, generated in 4 of our markets nearly $1.3 million in revenue, and created a pipeline of about $2 million over 3 months, which I was pretty proud of. In terms of how we've been trying to adapt, I have to say learning how to come in and out of the different waves has been the challenge for us. You know, when the first wave hit, it was so demoralizing, and then we started to come out and everyone was starting to, you know, be a bit more hopeful and a bit more, you know, optimistic about what was going to happen and whether this might end soon. But then we'd go into our second wave and then, you know, back into that, oh my God, this is happening again. Why is it happening again? And so being in Hong Kong, we're up to our fourth wave now, and it's not so demoralizing. It's, we just need to remember there are levers we can pull and levers we need to pull. And the reaction from everyone isn't, oh no, not another lockdown. It's just, you know, let's just, think about the campaigns, think about the brand and what we want to achieve, you know, over time, not let's react to whatever's happening right now. So we've learned to make sure that our messages are really consistent and that we're not just jumping and reacting each time we go into a wave. And then I guess my final point, as we think about 2021, which we're starting to do now, given that our financial year is the calendar year at Mercer. So for me, there's two things. I think that the first half of 2021 is still going to be economically challenging for us globally. I've got some friends that think that, you know, come 1st of January 2021, the whole world's going to be different and everything's going to be okay again. And I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think marketing budgets are still going to be really slim in the first half of next year. So there won't be buckets of money. So we're really going to have to think about how we want to work through the campaigns, how we want to set up campaigns, where we're going to focus. And the second thing for me is there's going to continue to be waves. Even, you know, with the talk of a vaccine by the end of this year or early next year, I still believe that there's going to be waves that will continue. And so, you know, for the first time, instead of my team, and it's hard for them because, you know, they've never had to go through something like this, but I've said I need a plan on a page for 2021. I don't want 10 pages of a marketing strategy. Because our focus it's got to be agile. It's got to be, how do we change this quickly? If the campaigns that we decide to put in place in January, come January, if they're not working, how do we tweak them, you know, within the first 3 or 4 weeks of January, as opposed to tweak them at the end of March in that quarter? So that's how I'm thinking about 2021. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on 2021 as well. So that's it from me, Kerry.
Thank you so much, Natalie. So much to think about there in terms of all of us working with no playbook. How have we been able to respond and react quickly for both our internal or external stakeholders? And I loved how much you talked about your in.
Kerry?
Yes.
We couldn't hear you for a second there.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and so I was just saying the three stages that you were talking about is a very helpful model to think about when managing a global remit. So again, thank you, Natalie, so much. For all our guests here, don't forget to pop your questions into the Q&A function. Join the chat, please, especially if we're speaking and you can't hear us. This is what happens in Hong Kong when everyone works in schools from home. Our Wi-Fi has a little bit of an overload. Anyway, now over to Chuck. Very much looking forward to your thoughts. And you have 15 minutes to tell us your story and journey, Chuck. So please.
Thank you, Kerry. And thanks, Natalie, for your sharing. So yeah, it's been a year. And I think this year has gone really, really, really fast. And I just couldn't wait till 2021 comes along. And hopefully we come for a reset and everything will be much better. I think for us, in terms of reflection, it has always been putting the interests of our clients and our staff as priority. I think in retrospect, we could have done more, quicker, faster, more response. I think as a bank and our brand promise is the here for good, we have done a lot of things for the community, including relief loans for small businesses, helping our retail clients, to manage the mortgage with just the interest payments. So just to manage the financial security. We also donated laptops. I think given a lot of kids have to sort of not go to school, but study at home. So there was a high demand for iPads and computers. And I think as a bank, we do have a lot of sort of the obsolete equipment that we donated to schools. We also did a lot of fundraising. We sort of matched the funds that were raised by the bank. We asked our corporate clients to also contribute to the funds. And we use that to specifically to help the tenants who are living in the much smaller subdivided housing in Hong Kong. So I think a lot of branding stories that we've done over this COVID period, just to show that they are not alone and we are part of that community to help them out. So I think as I think one of for us is about helping staff and really understanding the needs. I think this is for myself personally as well. This is unprecedented. We thought we've seen it before with SARS. But this has lasted much longer and the impact has been much more severe. So I think as Natalie mentioned, there's been no playbook that we could reference to handle this well. I think it's really to understand what the needs of our staff are, especially for those in Hong Kong where we live in quite small spaces and there's not a lot of help for them and helping them to have the right equipment to work. And at the same time, allowing them to look after the family was our top priority from the management and from the bank at large. I think in terms of business, like many industries, our business was significantly impacted as a lot of clients did not come to the branch where a lot of the banking and wealth transactions took place. So in terms of the business, I think the volumes were down about 30-40%. We actually closed about one third of our branches for two reasons. One is because we wanted to give our staff some extra time off so they can rest well and just so they can stay at home a bit more time and have the energy to handle the additional work in the office and branches. Also for the safety of our clients, because with less branches, I think there's also less chances and helping the social distancing in many of the branches that we operate. So the focus for us when wave one sort of hit us was to help the clients to manage the banking and financial needs from the comfort and safety of the home. So we launched a campaign inspired by the tagline work from home. We launched a campaign called Invest from Home, Bank from Home. And I think at that time, we were one of the few major brands who actually invested in marketing, because when most brands were actually slowing down the marketing investment, when most banks and other companies were taking a wait-and-see approach, I think we were one of the few institutions that invested heavily with the commercials. I think it was important. And I think in hindsight, I think that was the best thing that we did at that time to show to clients that we care, to show that how they can manage the banking and financial needs even without visiting branches. Because I think for a lot of people, they felt insecure of using digital capabilities, even though for the younger generation, they are accustomed to using everything on iPad and iPhone. For the slightly more conservative and affluent clients who are very used to coming and chatting to the RMs on a weekly basis, suddenly when they're locked down at home and having to manage their banking needs wasn't easy. And I think whilst many banks sort of had these digital capabilities, the focus for us was not to just tell them that we have these capabilities, but in fact was how to use them. So we actually created a lot of demos, and also in the EDM communication, it wasn't just about offers and about how to log. It was about how to use these to manage things. Well, I think one of the new sort of capabilities that we rolled out during this time was something called the MyRM. It's like a chat function that enables our clients to talk to the RMs in a more secure manner. Because I think even now we are using Zoom, and I think using Zoom is pretty much basic instinct now. For many clients, they still felt these commercial apps were not secure enough to handle the banking transactions. So we launched this new service that allows clients to actually chat with the RM in a post-chat, post-login environment. So they need to first log on to online banking first before they can reach the RMs. So clients felt much more secure to manage the insurance and the wealth transactions that they have to. So I think this was something that we responded to client needs, and also we marketed it quite heavily between March and June when the COVID sort of hit hardest in Hong Kong. So I think that is the sort of key reflection on how we responded to COVID. I think the other sort of reflection and sort of thinking ahead for next year is, I think we saw the behavior of the digital adoption that is not going to go away. I think even if COVID subsides and we get the vaccine and people start going back out to the branches, I think some of the behavioral change that we saw in the last couple of months will continue to remain. And I think as a bank, we continue to invest in the digital capabilities. We also launched the virtual bank this year, Mox. For those of you who are in Hong Kong, I know in UK, there are many sort of virtual banks. I think you guys are slightly ahead of us. We also launched the Mox virtual bank, which allows pretty much everything can be done virtually with the app. So we are seeing a lot of the change in digital behavior for our clients. And I think we are expecting a lot more transactions to be done through our mobile app and our online banking platform in the years to come. So I think that is sort of the quick sharing from my end, Kiri. Happy to take any questions and thoughts from your side.
Fantastic, Chuck. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed listening to this idea that we could all be quicker and faster and so forth. And I think we've all had a touch of that where we felt like, oh, you know, I could have done it differently in retrospect. But again, we were all on this very steep learning curve. The idea that Standard Chartered and yourself really invested in campaigns, that those campaigns were to help people transition into a forced new behavior. I found that very interesting. I'm a customer of Standard Chartered, so I've seen a lot of what you've been doing. And I appreciate from that point of view that there was that outreach to us to say, stay calm. You know, we will help you through this transition. And that is such important marketing when you're working with stakeholders and stakeholders' money in the extent that a bank is. But also the launch of a virtual bank. So congratulations on that. What a year to launch a virtual bank, right? Natalie, I'd like to invite you back on as well now. And what's going to happen now is that we're going to be inviting all of you to become participants by... to become panelists and a participant in this discussion. And as you all join, we do ask you to turn your video on if you can, turn your sound on as well when you're speaking, but remain on mute when you're not so that we can make sure it's all easy for all of us to have a conversation. So while that's happening, I'm just going to kick off the Q&A now with the first question, which is in hindsight. So looking back over the last year, is there anything that you would have done differently? And Chuck, perhaps you want to kick off with that.
Yeah, I think in hindsight, maybe a playbook would have been useful. I think we are not as well prepared as we thought. So I think especially for banks where the lead time to do things is not always as easy and straightforward with a lot of departments, also the regulatory aspect, the system aspect, I think we could have done more. We could have been better prepared. I think no one has prepared for this, honestly. But I think if we do prepare more for than expected, I think we are now also working on playbooks to handle client comms. How should we react quicker instead of taking 5 days? Can we do this in 3 days? I think these are some of the learnings that we're still working on. So hopefully we'll never need to use this playbook, but in case we do get the sixth and seventh wave, and if we do deal with new crisis, how should we react? I think COVID has made this even harder because a lot of the teams are working from homes. And I think so we're dealing with a crisis when everyone's actually not in the office. I think the communication has been a real challenge. So I think we have coped quite well, but I think there's always room to improve and react a bit quicker on that. I think that's my sort of key reflections. The second one is also caring about the community. I think, as I mentioned, our brand values here for good. I think we do focus on ourselves naturally, but then I think looking also after the communities who might have a more urgent need and probably lack the resources to help themselves. So I think it's also watching out for other groups and people will be something we need to keep in mind.
Very good point there, Natalie.
Kiri, in hindsight, I wish I'd taken the holiday to Hawaii back in March straight after my education, to be honest with you. But instead, I decided to go home and I was going to pack my bags again and go the week later. And then that was all shut down. But in terms of work, to be honest, I think I wish I had spent more time reaching out and trying to connect with more regional CMOs back then. to try and really get a sense of what it would really be like culturally to live and work in Hong Kong. It has been a challenge, not a struggle, but, you know, just a challenge learning about the different cultures. And because I come from I grew up in a very different culture, and learning how to manage regional teams here and then getting the collective mindset that we are a region as opposed, and we're far stronger as a region than Hong Kong or Singapore or Taiwan alone. And so just getting to that mindset and finding ways to get to that mindset quicker. I wish I'd done that or been able to do that quicker, to be honest, Kiri.
Yeah, retrospect is also, you know, something that we can always wish we had, but, you know, we shouldn't let it keep us up at night. I'd really like to invite all of our guests here today to ask questions and join the discussion. Would someone like to join in, Mateus, perhaps, to jump in here, ask a question or commentary?
Might be interesting to understand is the kind of challenges that we all foresee, let's say the first 6 months or so of 21, because I think it's going to be too difficult to even talk about the full year. But I'm based out of Singapore. I'm looking after all of Southeast Asia. I kindly don't expect to see any of my colleagues physically, which is pretty difficult because we are just putting complete new teams together. So that's one of the biggest concerns that I'm seeing. I think in terms of plans, I like what you just said, a playbook. I think we are adapting a lot of our work in the sense that we're making the marketing materials work for either away from home or at home as the two main channels, so that while we still drive the coherence across the different markets, they are more flexible in adapting depending on whether they're in a wave, outside a wave. And I think that will allow them to build the brands still consistently, but not necessarily everywhere with the exact same content plans and connection plans.
Chuck, Natalie, would either of you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I think Mateus also had a great question in the chat around how do you engage newbies in your team now that you can't travel and this is the best engagement. I mean, I've got team members in Singapore who I've never met and she started, you know, in April. So this is all I know with her and she's fantastic. But one thing that I've found based on my experience from last year, because I did this remotely last year, Mateus, I was flying in and out of Asia last year. But one thing that I did, I think, was good this year and with new starters in the team was to unite them around a cause. So for me, for some reason, I have a team of people who love Disneyland in Asia. They all want to go to Disneyland. So right at the start of the year, what I said to them was, and my point earlier about trying to unite a regional team as opposed to singular locations, was I said, at the end of this year, we're all going to either go to Disneyland or we're not going to Disneyland and you're just going to end up with the Mickey Mouse ears. So that was my positioning for them. But also, you know, Japan, China, big markets for us, have always been able to make target, have always achieved target. And I made it very clear to Japan and China this year that if you make target, but the rest of Asia in terms of, you know, the rest of the other, you know, eight markets that we have here don't make target, no one's going to Disneyland. So it's been great to bring them around to a purpose or a something to look forward to. We've had newbies starting and they've understood the whole Disneyland philosophy for this year for our team. And then the other great thing is Japan and China have stepped up. You know, they're 20% over their targets for this year alone, which has helped the rest of the other markets. You know, we've got Indonesia and Malaysia been in lockdown for months now and slowly coming out, but then you think they're all coming out and then they're going back in. Same with Philippines. So we've needed China, we've needed Japan to step up and help us with the targets, and that's worked for us. So just an idea.
I think for me, the key priority will be on engagement. I think as I alluded, I think engaging people virtually is very hard. I think it will never replace the actual physical interactions that we have. So we do look for, I think, when during breaks, when COVID isn't as serious and social distancing rules aren't as harsh, I think we do try to have everyone back to the office maybe at least once a week. I think it's easy just stay home because you want to look after your kids or you just don't want to risk taking public transport. But I think the team is very high-spirited, and I think we try to get everyone back at least once a week. And I think just to have that we are still real human beings and not just something like avatar on Zoom or in the various chat sort of apps. So I think that is something I'm very keen to enforce and encourage the team just to have that physical interaction. I think I wish I knew how to play out 2021, but I think it is very, very difficult. I think the other thing is people were also waiting for the outcome of the US elections. I think a lot of people are glad that it's been almost decided, I think. So that's one less uncertainty that we have to deal with. So hopefully the next 6 months, we just focus really on the vaccine and on the COVID recovery. And we hopefully will back to the new sort of new status quo soon.
Thank you. And any other questions from our guests here? Would be great if people want to speak up. Yvette, I see you've just...
Hi, yeah. I've come off mute maybe to ask a question if that's okay. So hi, everyone. Hello. This is Yvette. I work at Allied World Insurance Company. I'm also on the board for the Marketing Society in Singapore. I wanted to ask the panelists, and Natalie, you touched on this a bit in terms of the various phases that are still going to come, right? And I almost wonder if with the vaccine potentially on a horizon, we might enter this kind of phase, like I'm kind of calling like the airport waiting lounge, where you're not at home, but you're not yet on holiday. And everyone's kind of in this hiatus of waiting for the next thing, but not sure exactly if your airplane's going to come on time, right? So one of the things I've been discussing with my team is how do we address that potential ambiguity space that we might move into? How can we control what we can control? How do we be balanced between strategic and tactical in that phase of things as we might move into? That would be my question.
It's a great question, Yvette. And we struggled for a bit with it, to be honest. We went through lots of grey bits with our regional team. What I'm finding in Asia especially is everyone was still in crisis mode. So their mindset was still, it's one more crisis after it. Wave three is a crisis. Wave four is a crisis. So now instead of talking about crisis mode, because crisis mode can be, you know, it's challenging, but it can actually be easy also at the same time, because there is a playbook for crisis. This is what you do in a crisis. Here are the processes. Here are the people. Here are the technology pieces that you put together. We have started to talk more about growth and the growth mindset of it. So we haven't gone and tried to do the airport. We've just gone, there's growth, there's crisis, and now there's growth. We need you to move into that mindset and start thinking about how do you grow your business? How do you grow marketing? How do you grow revenue? How do you grow brand? And we're finding that it's starting to work. And how we're doing that is the communications we're sending to our teams is all about, you know, TED Talks. And there's a ton of resources out there about the growth mindset. And culturally, I think it's different. For my team in particular, I've specifically chosen local marketers. I haven't done what a lot of marketers here would tend to do, which is expats. I have deliberately, you know, for Hong Kong, it's taken me 9 months to find a marketing leader, but I didn't want an expat in that role. I wanted someone local. And so that in itself, to ask them to change to a growth mindset is something quite different as well. So the messaging from us is all about we need to grow. And next year is about growth. We know it's going to be hard, but we can't have you in crisis mode. We can't have you just reacting all the time.
Yeah, that's great, Natalie. I love that kind of confidence and that kind of leadership position to help stop that kind of paralysis that might happen in the airport lounge. That's great.
Danny, I saw you wrote a question in the chat. Would you like to verbalize that question?
Yeah, sure. Hi, it's Danny Hill from Observatory International here in Hong Kong. I guess my question is, obviously, next year, as you mentioned, as both mentioned, but you specifically, Natalie, budgets will be a bit tighter. People will be a bit more cautious. And I guess my question is, do you both look to move your, marketing spend out of more long-term fixed things like sponsorships into more sort of short-term, flexible things so that you can react a bit more quickly to the changing times. How do you approach your kind of marketing spend planning for 2021?
The question we're all asking, Danny, fantastic question. We'll let the experts jump in here. Chek, I think you're up first.
Yeah, let me try. I think for us, I think what has worked well for us is not off and it's not stop and go marketing. I think it's the consistent presence in the market that will be more positive and more better received by clients. I think when you only appear when good times roll, I think clients don't remember you. I think it's when in difficult times, clients remember that you have reached out to them. I think these will work much better. And I think that consistent exposure in the different channels, be it on the BTL or even on ATL, we try to have a bit more consistency throughout the year is what we're trying to plan. And I know budgets are hard, but I think we need to work and identify more effective marketing platforms to do this. Otherwise, if you do really tactical and short-term campaigns for a few weeks and then you disappear for months and then you come back for a few weeks, I don't think it will be as effective as staying on for throughout the year. So that is something we'll hopefully be able to achieve for next year.
You know what? I couldn't agree more with you there. That idea that it's almost brand desperation. You'll come back and chat to me when you need something from me, but not hold my hand through this experience. And I've seen some brands doing that. And when they've come back suddenly, you know, after 9, 10, 11 months, I'm like, unsubscribe, you know, where were you when I was sitting on my sofa with nothing to do, right? So I think it's really, really an important idea, that consistency of communication from brands, even when the times are very tough and the brand doesn't necessarily have the solution, you know. And I think, Natalie, you spoke to this idea that, you know, we're also here to be a calming voice and be a partner for our internal comms as well as our external. Would you like to also respond to that?
Danny, for me, we're absolutely doing that at the moment. Budgets are being cut for us by probably about 50%. So we're just trying to work through, you know, where do we spend the money to get the biggest impact? We've always had an always-on approach in the way Chek talked about it. We're going to continue with an always-on approach. But I don't think, you know, just because we're going to cut back on long-term things like brand, as you mentioned, it doesn't mean you can't do brand. It just means you need to do brand in a different way. So I'll give you an example of what I mean. So instead of, you know, brand campaigns that we normally do, we do the photography, we do the films, we do the stories, and then we go and, you know, buy the assets, the billboards, the advertising, etc. But now, instead of thinking about brand in that way, we're thinking about how do we tell brands with partners. So how do we engage with media partners? How do we engage with alliance partners? How do we engage with community partners to tell the brand stories that we need to? They're a lot lot more cost effective, but certainly gives you that same reach, and you're creating the advocacy still, but just in a slightly different way. So that's how I would think about it in terms of your spending for next year.
And so in a way, you're looking at it, adjusted audiences and therefore adjusted channels to those audiences. Does that mean that your marketing for the year ahead perhaps is looking at different types of multimedia or communications than you would have done in the past?
Yeah, absolutely, Kiri. And it's the one thing that I think is driving my team crazy because, you know, Asia's been this growth engine. It, you know, whatever they've done, it seems to be working. And why do we need to tweak it? Why do we need to change it? But we have to. We don't have the same budgets. We don't have the same channels. People are on completely different channels now for longer or shorter, depending on what channels that you're used to. I do think you need to evaluate your whole channel mix and evaluate how you make the budget that you have for an always-on approach last longer.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw what I'm assuming is a smaller budget campaign that was on your LinkedIn page, where it's your team, and your team were just being normal people having a difficult day, you know, dad there in the clown outfit, oops, wrong chat, right? And that's, you know, the campaign that Cathay Pacific put out, again, everyone knows it's low budget, but it's also our lives are a bit low budget at the moment. And we're all, here I am in my living room. I put flowers behind me so it looks a bit prettier and I, aren't showing you the mess that's happening just over there, right? We're all doing that. And so that human touch of brands also, having that form of communication, it's not something we would have even dreamed of a year ago. You know, that wonderful polish of a brand that we're so used to. But in this year and in 2021, it's actually on message in a sense. We're with you. We're all feeling it. This is something extraordinary. I see Karen there. You've got your video on there. Would you like to jump in with us?
Yes, I actually had a question related to something that Chuck mentioned when he was speaking earlier about this need to be more agile in getting communication out, where you would take, say, 5 days on something, now you have to take, say, 2 or 3 days. So two questions over there. One is, did you find yourself taking on, say, automation products or automating some of that? And what was that experience? And related to that, what do you see, how do you believe the relationship with the agency, your agency on record in terms of coming up with the overall campaigns, how will that change in time to come? It would be great to have both your perspectives.
Sure. Thanks for your question. You're absolutely right. I think marketing tech will definitely help us respond to market much quicker. I think, unfortunately, the tools weren't quite ready. We're still in the project sort of phase, so we wish the tech was in a more ready state to allow us to do that. But I think this is something we are continuing investing so that we can react and respond to the market quicker. The second question on agencies, we have a very long-term relationship with our agency partner, both from the media and also the creative side. And I think that has really helped us to put out the campaign that I mentioned, the Bank From Home campaign, in a matter of weeks. So I think in the old days, this would have taken months to come up. But I think we also work in a very agile way with our partners. I think that is, having that long-term relationship helps, because they know the brand, they know the team. And I think having that sort of deep understanding of the brand really helps to drive effective execution in short periods of time. I think just also one point about what Natalie and also Kiri mentioned. I think it's now even a bit more human and realistic to go for a more genuine execution rather than like big budgets, mega production, because it just seems out of tune with what's happening in a way. So I think we also did a lot of sort of low production and featuring. I think even the Bank From Home commercial, we try to feature sort of everyday family that are locked in that lockdown environment, which is hopefully will bring some smiles to people who watch it, because you can see yourself, you can see your brother and your sister and your parents sort of doing their own sort of regular stuff in the house, whether it's watching Netflix or trying new recipes. So we try to feature a bit of that everyday life in the commercial, hopefully to bring that resonance that comes through to bring that message across.
And I must say, I also loved that campaign. And what I loved about it was how local it was. And it spoke to local markets. And I think that's something we're all observing, is that global campaigns aren't going to work because, Natalie was talking to this point that local markets are at a different phase, shall we say, of their COVID, whether it's, Hong Kong, we were in a really good place. We were out playing and everything else. And suddenly, as of today, we're back in a Hong Kong style lockdown, like it keeps changing. And so that localized response is really important as well. And both of you have touched on that. We also have our wonderful Sophie here. Sophie, would you like to turn your camera on and ask your question? As you all know, Sophie is our CEO of the Marketing Society, and it's such an honor to have you here today. So over to you for a sec to ask your question out loud, if you would. You're on mute.
Classic.
By the way.
great to see everybody, and what an interesting discussion. Just my question, I guess, listening to the reflections from everybody, this has clearly been a year of learning let's put it that way, a year where we've all learned so much as we've had to pivot and respond. How are you going to continue to just make sure that in 2021, you're continuing to find ways to keep learning, to keep upskilling and do that with your teams? I mean, especially when money or time is tight, making that upskilling and the constant learning a priority is quite difficult for a lot of people. I just wondered if there are any reflections on personal or team development for 2021.
I'm happy to kick off on that one, Sophie. So learning is a huge part of for me. Every 3 years, I do an executive education course, and I've always done that. So a couple of years ago, I did my executive MBA. This year was the Harvard Business School that I did, and I'm now looking at what I'm going to do, you know, 3 years from now. But my team don't have a choice. because I have this philosophy of you need to be better tomorrow than when you met me, they know that their KPIs at the end of the year, so their bonuses at the end of the year, are reliant on what they've learned. So every month, without fail, they have to take an hour to do a course. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's online. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, and thankfully at Mercer, we've got a huge library of learning resources, but there's so much out. You could watch a TED video for all I care for 17 minutes if that's all you want to do. But, you know, so for me, they have to come back and present. So every month we have someone different talking about what they've learned from something, a source of some sort. So we've got access to Harvard Spark. We've got access to LinkedIn Learning. We've got access to all of the TED talks. So yeah, huge learning culture for us, especially for me, given that, you know, it's also on my LinkedIn profile that every marketer that works for me needs to be better tomorrow than they are today.
That's a great expression. Love it.
I might be stealing your idea, Natalie, just to encourage the team. Now, for me, I think actually we've gone a bit more old-fashioned, actually read a bit more during lockdown. I think before we just never had the time, and reading books was a bit low on the priority list. But given we can't travel, the team has been reading a lot more on sort of self-improvement and just marketing books in general. And the books get passed around. So from agency and within the teams, I've read this, it's pretty good. You want to take a look? So I think it's not as expensive as a Harvard education, but hopefully we'll find that time to, instead of the traveling to work, I think people are just finding that 30 minutes just to read a chapter of the book. So I've completed more books than ever in the past year.
So some book recommendations from you then, the best ones for us all to read for 2021.
Oh, the recent one I read is How to Build a Story Brand. I don't know if you've read that. It's pretty good.
How to Build a Story Brand.
How to Build a Story Brand is quite practical. It's not just theory, and it's sort of really, when you read it, it's not like rocket science, but the way they have articulated the steps of building a campaign and working on the client insights, I think it's quite good. Even the agency planners are using that in the creative presentation. So that was the book of the year for me in 2020.
Does anyone else have a book of the year they'd like to just share quickly for Sophie and my reading list? Anyone? If you do share it in the chat. I love to hear other CEOs and CMOs talking about like what it is we're reading that's shaping our minds.
I'd love to say I've read a book in the last 5 years, but I haven't, which is my honest truth. I've got 3 children under 7.
Well, I'd like to admit when I say I read a book, I'm actually listening to a book. That's my off the screen time. And I just put on the Audible. And what's so great is there are so many learning books that are now Audible books. Because it used to be just the novels and such, but now everything can be listened to. And I think that's a really good way to kind of download information when you're out on a walk or something like that. So that's my little trick. But I'm just noticing we've got 4 minutes to go. So any burning desires for a last question here before I ask my last one?
So, Curie, sorry, do you mind I think Kant had a couple of questions in the Q&A.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Chat. Do you mind if I just talk to him about some of those? Just a couple of things from me. That nothing has to be high production. The video that Kiri referred to on LinkedIn today that we just launched that campaign, that was all filmed on Zoom and then edited on an iPhone. The other thing about automation that you asked is don't think that you have to boil the ocean with automation. This is a mistake I think a lot of marketers make is, you know, when I started, I made this mistake as well. I thought we can do this automation, three journeys, you know, let's go. And then I realized three journeys was actually 36 pieces of content. And I was like, okay, maybe let's just start with one journey. I would say to you, don't try and boil the ocean. Just start with one journey that you think will make that will have the highest impact, and then create the content you need to automate from that part onwards. So I hope that helps.
Thank you.
Thanks, Natalie, and all of you for your amazing questions and for the engagement and interaction here. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so to our contestants of the day, we have one final question for you. What I'd like to ask is, what is the one key piece of advice or a tip that you want to leave us with today? So what's your one key piece of advice or tip that's going to get us to a position of thriving in 2021 that you would like to leave us with today? Ladies first.
Ladies first.
Oh. Check seems to be ready. Okay. My one tip, I think, having listened to today and the conversations today, we all know the mistakes we've made. We all know about the hindsight. But I guess for me today, if there's one thing that you did really well this year that you're really proud of, my tip for you is to ask yourself, how can you do it better next year? You're going to have to do it better next year because I actually think it's going to be tougher next year than it will be this year. So how can you challenge yourself to do it better again next year instead of thinking about all the things you did wrong this year? It's one thing you did really well, and how can you do it better next year? Thanks, Kiri.
Thanks, Natalie.
I think on a similar note, is to stay positive. I think it is a very difficult year. I hope next year will be better, but who knows? I mean, with things that are happening, I think no one really knows what's for certain. And I think it's the spirit that really helps us to sail through all the difficult crises. And I think is stay positive for yourself and encouraging your team to stay positive. I think with positivity, we can solve anything.
Couldn't agree with you both anymore. So our tips then for everyone here today is think about the one thing that you did in 2020 that you did well, and think about how you can do it better in 2021. So amping that up. And the second thing is stay positive. And, you know, as we talk about in a Chinese language, is to say that, you know, if we're talking about crisis, we're always talking about opportunity. And so it's that positivity of what's the opportunity of the crisis that has been presented to you. And I think that is a very important perspective as we bring this discussion kind of to a finale. Just a few wrap-up points here. So we'd really like to thank all of you for participating. It means a lot to have the interaction both on the chat, on the Q&A, and also turning your video on, no matter what state of makeup or affair we're in today, and just getting in touch with one another, you know, especially when many of us maybe haven't spoken to another person today or have had limited conversations that are outside of just purely directions that are related to work. Also, I'd like to say that we very much value your feedback, and we'd appreciate if you could take a moment now to complete the poll that is about to appear on your screen. Sabine, am I right in saying that this is a poll that no one else is going to see? It's just going back to the Marketing Society, not the people in this chat. That is correct. I've got a nod there. So if you could just fill this in quickly and press submit, we very much appreciate it.
I suspect you don't want us critiquing ourselves, Kiri.
Oh, I am. Data is data. How can we manipulate it? Isn't that what we do every day? Plus, Sabine can take mine out, I think. I thought you were all excellent, by the way. Okay, so thank you for filling that in for us. We do hope to see you at another one of our events soon. what this pandemic has taught us is that as much as we miss our face-to-face events, what we are doing, and again, here's the opportunity, is bringing our global community together. And so, again, a shout out to how many countries we have people attending from today. And I think that that perspective is fantastic. And I know that that's seriously a part of 2020 that I'm enjoying and I hope to see a bit more of in 2021. So looking on the bright side, as Chet says. So we're busy planning our 2021 calendar at the moment. So please do keep an eye on your inboxes for any updates. What we'll be doing in 2021 is to ensure that we're all informed, we're all talking together, and we continue to have these discussions as we move forward. Once again, Chet, Natalie, thank you so much for participating today. Your insights are second to none. I've had a very enjoyable time. So thanks, everyone, and Merry Christmas in advance. That's a wrap.
Merry Christmas. thank you.
Thanks, Kerry. Thanks, everyone.
Have a lovely day. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.